Good morning, friends. This is Candace from Autism One Media. Today, my guest is Michelle Ford. Good morning, Michelle.
Hey, hi, Candace. Good morning. How are
you? Hey, so we're going to talk about New Jersey today.
Girl, let's talk about New Jersey.
Let's talk about the VAXPA, California Health Coalition Advocacy Bill, and CalJAM.
Let's do it.
So what happened in New Jersey? Let's talk about New Jersey. So what happened in New Jersey? We won, which I feel is a win for the entire country.
Holy Toledo, Trenton really, really, really brought it out. There are estimates that 10,000 activists showed up to oppose Senate Bill, which was the bill to eliminate religious exemptions to vaccinations for school-age kids.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, it went to the 11th hour. There were activists chanting at the top of their lungs outside of the Senate chambers the whole day. We're talking about people standing arm in arm with their homemade signs and their flashlights and their mittens and beanie caps on and their jackets because it was super cold out there. And, you know, there were heavy hitters like Del Bigtree and I think Bobby Kennedy and Dr. Shiva and Mary Holland, right? So people, very influential leaders of this movement flew out to Trenton to be there in support of all the activists that showed up. And Senator Sweeney, who is the lead author of that bill, he said that this is a war. He actually, and that's a direct quote, that this is war. He is totally committed to getting this bill passed. It died, right? Let me back up a minute. So the session ended up ending before the bill could come up for the vote, and they didn't bring it to vote before the gavel hit the podium, right? Because he knew that they didn't have the votes. They were shy of one or two votes. So the legislative session ended, so the bill died kind of by default. But had they voted on it, it would have died by vote. So what this does is it enables Senator Sweeney to reintroduce the same bill with a bill number change. And he is, I think he's a Senate he's one of the leaders of the Senate, so I don't know if he's the majority leader or the minority leader, but regardless, he's already done some crazy shift around. He actually took Senator Joe Lacana, he's a senator that actually was supporting the activist side and the right, he wanted to help maintain the religious exemption before he introduced some ridiculous segregation endorsement to the bill that made it almost worse. Joe Lugano was on our side the whole time, and then he introduced this weak endorsement, and then the bill just kind of died. But Joe Lugano got switched around by Senator Sweeney, so he's no longer on certain influential committees because he stood by activists and the right to choose. So it's really, really interesting to see this unfold. And, all eyes in the health freedom movement are keeping an eye on New Jersey because we saw what was effective. Finally, we had very, 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 a bill that was very likely to pass. And we literally, like those little tugboats that Bobby Kennedy talked about, we were just ever so slightly tapping along the side of this gigantic ship and managed to just steer it off course slightly enough that the bill died, at least in the last legislative session. So,
because pharma has such huge presence in New Jersey.
Oh, yeah. I mean, isn't it the home of Merck, if I'm not mistaken? So they have huge influence over not only the community at large there, but also in local politics and national politics. I mean, we're talking about a pharmaceutical giant who calls New Jersey home, competing with the voice of the little guy, literally. This was a David and Goliath moment. The only issue is Goliath was not defeated to the death. In this scenario, Goliath got a black eye.
But the thing is, you know, New Jersey has more autism than any other state in the union, I think.
Yeah. You know, I don't have the statistics in front of me, but that sounds pretty darn close to accurate, if not spot on. Yeah. Which is interesting because New Jersey is not one of the states that has had mandatory vaccines the way California does, the way West Virginia, Mississippi does, right?
Yeah, but they're also a lot more polluted than a lot of other states, and that could be part of it.
Right.
There's a lot of toxins, a lot of industry there.
Yeah, you know, at the end of the day, it really is about toxic overload. And what you're saying is 100% accurate. How much toxic, you know, stuff can our bodies handle?
Yeah, mercury spewing power plants and, you know, lead in the water, and who knows what else.
Coal burning. We've got everything from pesticides to phthalates to hormone-disrupting chemicals, you know. We've got exhaust. Oh, boy. Hold on. Sorry. We've got exhaust and toxic things that get spewed out of airplanes a lot, and of course out of vehicles, diesel. We've got I'm not sure whether or not I mentioned fertilizers, but we also have things like regular household cleaners, laundry detergent, shampoo, conditioner, lotions, makeup. I mean, the list goes on and on and on about all the different ways that we're bombarded with a host of different chemicals.
Chemtrails,
absolutely.
GMOs in our food. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. So we've got, you know, some genetically modified staples in our diet, the American diet, with soy and corn and wheat that are, they're modified to resist, you know, like they're manufactured sort of with the pesticide built into the DNA of the food.
Yeah. So it blows up the bug's stomach.
Yeah,
that's how they kill all the bugs.
It's terrible because we're really messing with Mother Nature in a way that I don't think our creator ever intended. So
yeah, I just interviewed Dr. Stephanie Seneff on how chlorine dioxide kills glyphosate in the body, which has resulted in, you know, Carrie Rivera does the chlorine dioxide protocol, and she's recovered like 800 kids from autism.
So I did
an interview with her, and then I followed it up with the pathology of how it works with Dr. Seneff, and she explained how it all worked. And she's an expert. She's an MIT scientist.
Wow.
You know, so
I'm sure that was an incredible interview. I can't wait to listen to it, actually.
Yeah, I've had quite a few lately. Dr. David Lewis, that was, and Tim Bolin. I got Tim Bolin. And,
oh, wow.
I'm
awesome.
Very excited because I got an interview with Dr. Wakefield coming right up. So that's exciting.
Wow, you're getting some serious rock stars. That's awesome.
Yeah, and then we reached out of our community and went over there to alternative media, to the you know, Truther channel over there at McAllister TV, and I got Dr. Judy Mikovits to join me, and we talked about chimerism and how these, you know, this insect DNA and how the abortive fetal tissues can manifest physically, how it's plausible that, you know, it can manifest in gender confusion with the aborted fetal tissue and sterility and even cancer, you know, because they're replicating, they're self-replicating cells. Like they've got one of the fetus lines that's like 60, 70 years old. So you know that that cell keeps replicating, and that's what causes cancer. And there was just a study done on that, and I don't know where it is, and I think I've asked you for it before, and you didn't know where it was either, but maybe I'll find it on my Facebook page under saved stuff. But the replicating cells is what causes cancer, you know. So
yeah, you know, everybody knows when you just think about common sense, right? Common sense, based on the most basic understanding, elementary understanding, when cells replicate at a particular rate, it can be considered abnormal, and then we
especially
get things
if they're
like
not our own
cancer. Absolutely, and so we've got these cell lines that are masterful replicators, and as a result of that, you know, it doesn't take a brain surgery scientist or even an MIT doctor, an MIT scientist to go, wait a minute, hold the phone. We've got these cell lines that their greatest achievement is the fact that they can replicate at such a rate. That should be a red flag.
Just to wash away the blood-brain barrier with the polysorbate 80 and to inject, you know, 7 or 8 viruses that you're not going to find naturally,
mm-hmm.
to inject that into a closed system with no chelation, the heavy metals, the viruses, straight in the brain. I mean, to me, that's kind of like, why didn't I think of that, like, you know, 15 years ago?
Oh, yeah.
Because
well,
I trusted my doctor. Why didn't he think of it? He's supposed to be the smart one. Well, now I'm finding out I'm smarter than he is. Well, anyway, I'm serious. There's these common sense things, you know, like we're not supposed to eat each other. Why would we want to inject another person's DNA into our bodies?
Yeah, you know, we definitely don't want to do that. I think the problem is most people don't know that that's what they're doing. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they don't realize the ingredients of these vaccines and how nefarious they really are.
Right.
And, you know, you and I both know that, you know, there's a world governance that runs our government and our government tries to control us and tell us what to do. Well, they're about tired of us, and we're just useless eaters, and they're making room for artificial intelligence. And, you know, hence the Green Deal, hence, you know, Healthy People 2020, where the CDC actually thought they were going to take liberty and pull us out of line and hold us against our will for 3 to 4 days if we had a cough. Which brings us to the real ID and how they're going to be tracking our health information. And, you know, this has all happened before. You remember the Holocaust.
Oh, yeah.
And we know about the Guidestones, and it's all related to this Jeffrey Epstein and this Bill Gates. They're all in cahoots, and they're all devil worshipers. So, you know, I talk about this stuff, and people think I'm crazy, but it's real true. You know, they want depopulation, and we know that Bill Gates even talked about that. So if they can just straight inject us and control it, you know, if they can just tell us mandate vaccines, and I mean, if you look around at our kids, they're all sick. 54% of our kids are sick. Their IQs are dropping. I think Bobby Kennedy said it was 7 points per generation. I think that's what he said. It might be 3 IQ points per generation, but you can find
I think it was seven.
His talk at Autism One, and I have the article on my phone where that came from, but I'd have to find it in my pictures. But I found that article. So, and Bobby Kennedy talks about that, the lowered IQs, and of course we have our social engineering in our schools. And on social media, you know, we're, you know, but anyway, thank God we made it through New Jersey.
I mean, you know, we got to celebrate. I don't know what you did. I was watching with bated breath from home.
wishing that I was there. I had major FOMO going on because I couldn't get out to New Jersey to be with the tribe, you know. But if anyone from New Jersey is listening right now, I just really, my hat goes off to you for a successful campaign, keeping the pharmaceutical giant at bay, and having a strategic plan to onboard so many parents who made it out there that day. It was an incredible demonstration, an incredible example of commitment, vision, and not giving up. Like when they said, we're not going away, they really meant it. And it's giving people who are new to this movement hope in a way that I think we've never seen before. And not only that, but it's giving new people kind of a safe and warm, welcome place to be, because, you know, we didn't decide, oh, I'm going to, you know, you didn't wake up one day and go, I'm going to be an advocate for parental rights and health freedom. It just kind of happens when you go down the rabbit hole after you're either an eyewitness to your own child or yourself or a close family member regressing into some condition. But once it happens, it's like you can never go back. And you feel kind of alone in the world until you figure out who your people are. So Trenton demonstrated very, very masterfully what our tribe is like. They were out there singing beautiful, you know, God Bless America. And they were singing that, and I was watching it online. I mean, I had the chills from head to toe. I felt so proud to be an American in that moment. And I just am so honored to be part of a movement that is such a trailblazing movement. And the thing that I was going to say about, like, you didn't wake up, you know, one day and just go, oh, I'm going to be an activist, you know, like, this is the most divisive issue on the planet. I mean, it breaks up families. It divides communities, unfortunately, and it's all because it's such a misunderstood and highly scrutinized movement. But what's important about that is the fact that not only are we growing, but more and more people are putting themselves out there. We're not just growing in, you know, numbers of people that are observing us. We're actually growing in the number of people that are willing to step up and do something, whether they're donating, whether they're out there singing or chanting or praying or holding a sign. It's just been amazing. And I also want to give a shout out to Joshua Coleman, who, although he wasn't in Trenton that I saw, his campaign for Vias for Vaccines has sparked a national movement, and they're incredible. I mean, we're seeing demonstrations happening at, you know, football games and really high-profile events like the Golden Globes and the Comic-Con and others. It's just so awesome to see that his idea has spawned a whole new crop of dedicated people who want to jump into the movement. So, I mean, all I can say is that's just awesome.
Well, when you see, like, things like SB 277 in California, where we all fought so hard, and we were up there, you know, I'm sure you were there a lot more than I was, but I went up there three times, and it was a lot to pack my family up and go over there, take kids out of school, and you know, and it's about 8 hours from my house, but I still went. But parents are seeing where their parental rights are being whittled away, you know. And I'm telling you, if we can't protect our kids, we're done.
It's true.
And parents have to rise up, and they've been rising up and taking a stand against this tyranny.
Mm-hmm.
But first you have to be aware of it, you know. And,
yeah,
and finally,
finally,
people are waking up everywhere across the country. They see the corruption and, you know, don't necessarily understand how, I mean, my generation, my parents, my parents said, oh, it's doctor's orders, you have to do this. And there was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It was like they were false gods, you know, these doctors in the white coat, they tell you to take 3 aspirin and call me in the morning. Well, that's what you did. I mean, mm-hmm. you didn't question that. But then we bring our kids home after having 7 or 8 vaccines, and, you know, they become lethargic or they have seizures. And we're starting to see more and more that it's true, you know, these vaccines are unsafe. And who would have thought, you know, because I trusted my doctor, so I did what the doctor told me to do because I wanted to be the best mom I could be. And I was, and I went against my intuition saying, I don't really think this is good. And I kind of learned my lesson when my kid got sick and now is diagnosed with autism. But, you know, more and more people are taking notice that, you know, I don't think this is safe. You know, yeah. they're seeing with their own eyes. They're paying attention. You know, they're not just going blindly and taking the doctor's word for it like I did. Thank goodness.
Yeah, parents.
So
are
we're not anti-vaxxers. No, we're not. We're about health freedom. We want to be able to decide.
Absolutely. And not that I have anything against anti-vaxxers. I appreciate everybody on the spectrum of this movement, but I also identify as someone that's pro-choice. I feel like if a parent has done their research and they come to the conclusion that they believe the best decision that they could make, which is for them feels like the lowest risk possible, if that is to vaccinate, then they should have the right to do that if they want to. Just like on the opposite side of the spectrum, if someone never wants to come near a needle and have anything put into their children, they should be respected as well. And we really need to bring the argument back to where it belongs anyway, which is these manufacturers can have products that fail. The media has influenced and brainwashed the public so well that instead of the product being blamed for being faulty, the community gets blamed for outbreaks.
Right.
But, you know, if you buy a toaster and you plug it in and it doesn't work, you can, you know, bring it back and get a new toaster. You know what I'm saying? You don't blame your neighbor that your toaster isn't working. Oh, yeah, let's blame the neighbor.
Yeah.
Let's blame the fact that the neighbor doesn't have a toaster on why mine isn't working. Right?
Yeah, we can't sue the pharmaceutical companies after they've harmed our children.
Yeah, and we don't think
you know, and I've done a lot of interviews with parents who've been to the vaccine court. So, you know, we know there is injury, and we know that 54% of our kids are sick. So,
yeah,
you know, if you can homeschool your kids, have freedom of choice to vaccinate or not, to let your kid work through that fever instead of giving them Tylenol or a fever reducer, you know, that fever is there for a reason. If we can just get back to where our grandparents did it on the farm, I think it would be so much better. But now these regulations and all these rules and even how they want to micromanage our parenting, like that bill that was proposed, it didn't go anywhere. But, of course, they wanted to, you know, send their AmeriCorps volunteers to every house with children and assess them on attachment, nutrition, socialization, education, and medical. You know, they want to assess parents to see how they, you know, if they're up to snuff. Well, who gets to decide what's right for my family? Senator Pan isn't going to decide that for my family. I'm going to decide.
That's right. That's how it should be. And by the way, I'll remind all of your listeners that the exact thing that you're talking about right now, the fact that there are legislators out there that think that they can raise your children better than you can, this is the reason why they're going after guns.
I know.
They like to say it's because of, you know, the Parkland shooting or the Charlottesville, right? But no, at the end of the day, pharmaceutical mafia, I think they outspend gas and oil by, what is it, 10 times, 5 times, I forget.
But at least 2 to 1.
They have a vested interest in protecting their billions and billions of dollars in profits.
Their bottom line, their stockholders.
Yeah. And so they have the financial resources to take our own protections away from ourselves. Because let me just tell you, somebody comes to the door and they want to pull you out of your house and stick you into a van or your child and forcibly inject you with anything, unless you have the proper means and protection under the Second Amendment, I have a feeling that they're going to outgun you, so to speak. If you have no way to protect yourself with firearms, then I predict a very dismal future unless people start waking up faster. And that's not to discount how fast we are waking up. People really are becoming much more aware of this horrible system. But with that being said, I tell everybody, don't surrender your guns and don't believe the hype on the news media. Those incidences are being used as a means to make it so that people cannot stop the pharmaceutical rollout and the nanny state.
Pharmaceutical has more money than anybody. They are the head of the snake, and they are coming after us. They have no regard for us.
Yep.
They have regard for their shareholders. And
yep.
So, and they're all felons. They've all been, you know, they've all committed fraud, and they get to this. They have more lobbyists than there are of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Anyway, so let's get to the Vax bus.
Oh.
The Vax bus was in Santa Monica?
Yes. All day yesterday, the Vax bus was in Santa Monica, California, which is Southern California. And it was so amazing because there's a wonderful theater in Santa Monica that welcomed not only the Vax bus to park out front, but also you know, just treated the enormous crowd of people with such grace. And we got very positive feedback from the people that were in line. And I'll tell you that it was a sold out event. It was
awesome.
Wonderful. It was absolutely wonderful. And Wendy Silvers was moderating the Q&A. I believe she was the co-organizer of that event along with Jill Hawkins and Donna Schumann. And Wendy asked the audience after the film, she said, if this is your first time coming to an event like this in this community, you know, meaning the health community, could you please stand or raise your hand, something like that. And it was incredible how many new people identified themselves as never having been to a health freedom event like this ever last night. So it was riveting. I got chills from head to toe because I really felt so much hope wash over me. You know, it wasn't, yes, there were some familiar faces there, of course, because we, you know, we're the people that volunteer and we put things together and we support. So there definitely were familiar faces, but there were also a ton. Like a third of the room were brand new. And that
awesome.
Just warmed my heart. Yeah.
And just
great.
For our listeners, if you don't know who Wendy Silvers is, you go to the millionmamasmovement.org, I believe it is.
Mm-hmm.
And she writes a blog, and she has some tips for new parents if you're going to have your baby in the hospital. She has some print media on that, what to expect and how to manage your stay in the hospital and keep your baby safe from forced vaccines. And
yeah.
We've had a couple people ask for that, and I found some of her print media in my box of media that I have. So that's Wendy Silvers, Million Mamas Movement. And then we have our friend Zen Honeycutt and her organization at Moms Across America. So you can go there and learn all about GMO food.
Yeah, it would have been nice to have Zen there last night. She, I did invite her. She couldn't make it out. But, you know, we also had Polly Tommy, who's on the Vaxxed team. We had Robert F. Kennedy Jr., as well as Dr. Shannon Croner. So it was a panel of four. And, you know, gosh, we got such a late start film that the Q&A was rather short. I think it was about approximately 30 minutes, so only a few questions got to be asked. But it was really wonderful. And, you know, whenever I get to sort of convene with people in the health freedom movement and then sort of energetically feel the experience of a whole new crop of people waking up, it just really gives me a lot of hope for the future.
Yeah, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. I went down to Santa Monica, and that's where I saw Vaxxed, the first movie, Vaxxed, for the very first time, the documentary. So, and this one was Vaxxed 2. So,
one last little note about Vaxxed 2. Apparently, I guess within the next month or two, people will be able to do private screenings. You won't have to wait until it comes to a movie theater near you. You'll be able to organize and hold screenings in your local community or at your house or whatever you want. So,
I like to do that. Yeah. I like to rent the library. There's a room in the library where they have a projector and it holds about 100 people. And it doesn't cost very much money, especially if you can use a nonprofit, you know, and you can organize and advertise and you don't have to charge anything, maybe buy some food and host a little, you know, that's a great way to activate, you know, and it's not very expensive. And most of us are used to spending our own money because we've done that for so long. But,
oh, yeah.
You know, you can rent a place in the library and maybe even invite Polly Tommy. I understand she got her Facebook page shut down yesterday.
Yes,
so we need to get her over to StopBitBurning.com because we're going after big tech for that censorship. Adam Schiff trying to shut us all down over there on Facebook. Is he in Santa Monica? Adam Schiff? Is he your legislator?
He's not mine. I think he's Glendale and parts of Beverly Hills, I think.
Well, let's talk about the California Health Coalition Advocacy Bill.
Perfect. Oh, my gosh. So I should disclose to your audience that although I'm not an officer, I am on the board for California Health Coalition Advocacy. We are a 501c4, and, you know, you can actually check out everything about us, all the fine details at California Health Coalition Advocacy.org or ShareTheSolution.org. They both go to the same place. What's so great is you can go there and take a look at our bill. We actually have a piece of legislation in play right now. We have a lobbyist, and the lobbyist is actively looking for an author who's going to carry the bill. So that should be happening. It's actually happening right now. He's vetting a few legislators and is quite confident that we're going to have not only support for this bill, but also that we're going to get it passed. It's a very common sense kind of piece of legislation that reinstates the authority back to the doctor, you know, so that your doctor can give you a medical exemption if the doctor sees fit. So it's going to eliminate like the retribution by the state. So doctors don't have to fear losing their licenses if they issue medical exemptions. And then it also gives the authority back to the California Medical Board instead of the state public health agencies for overseeing the medical exemption process. So that's good. And health of those, you know, the at-risk kids that we're all concerned about, you know, would have greater access to a medical exemption if we can get this bill passed. So, yeah, check it out. We're actually looking for people who can commit to a small donation on a monthly recurring basis, because we are working with one of the top lobbyists in California. And as you can imagine, having a lobbyist is quite expensive. So we're asking people to commit to at least a $10 per month recurring donation, and you can find the donation link on our website. But of course, if it's comfortable to afford more than that, $50 a month recurring, $100 a month recurring, $1,000 a month recurring, all of those amounts would be very helpful, because we have a long-term contract with this lobbyist, and Lord knows we don't want to lose our houses trying to afford him all by ourselves.
Yeah. So sharethesolution.org or californiahealthcoalitionadvocacy.org.
Exactly, yes.
Now, can we read that bill? Can we read that bill on sharethesolution.org?
Yeah, it's actually really great. So if you go to the website, it should take you immediately to our landing page that says Take Action, Legislation, and then if you scroll down towards the bottom, you'll see a link that says read the CHCA bill here, and you just click on that. It'll open up all the fine print in the lovely legalese language, and then reach out to your Senate, you know, your California senator or your California assembly person, and let them know that there's a bill looking for an author that you highly support. So,
well, I know of one that might. Can I tell you his name right now?
Sure.
He's Jordan Cunningham, and he's right here in my area. I can't remember the district. Jordan Cunningham.
Awesome.
And he's very sympathetic to our cause, and I think he's one of us.
Well, that's amazing. We need a lot more doctors like that.
Well, he's a legislature guy.
Oh, my God. That's what I meant to say. I'm so sorry. We need a lot more legislators like that. Yeah.
Okay, so we've got Autism One coming up in May. And, of course, we could always use some money, too. So, and, of course, we want our listeners to share this video, hit the like button, share it with your friends, subscribe, and get notifications. So last but not least, CalJAM is coming up February 14th through the 16th. Will you be over there?
I won't be there for all the days, but yes, I will be there for, I would say, a majority of the time at least. And we've got some really incredible people, some high-profile people coming. We've got Russell Brand. I think he's an actor. I'm not even exactly sure in the world of Hollywood, but apparently he's a very famous individual. And then we've got some of our favorite doctors, right? So we've got Dr. Ed Group. We've got Dr.
Oh, I like him.
Oh, my God, he's so great. Dr. John Berman. We've got Dr. Jen Tempo. We've got, of course, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is going to be there. He's always supportive of health freedom. And so many others. There's David
Polly
Wolf.
Polly Tommy. I like David
Billy
Wolf.
DeMoss, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. There's actually a whole page worth of speakers that you can check out if you go to CaliforniaJAM.org/2020-speakers. Of course, you could just go to their landing page at CaliforniaJAM.org/2020 and just take a look. It's really exciting.
Well, I hope to see you soon, Michelle.
Yeah.
If anything comes up, let me know.
I
want to go. I want to go. I missed... I was out of town with my kids, and we had VAXXed up here, and it wasn't my event, but I still wanted to go, but I missed it. So I'll be looking for VAX 2, and Judy
yes.
was talking about it quite a bit. Everybody's talking about it, and so I really want to see it. I've
yeah,
just been busy with the kids because we've been out of school for 4 weeks. So Christmas break is 4 weeks.
I guess it's winter break. Yeah. So we're always the first to go back.
4 weeks.
Yeah.
Holy Toledo.
Because we have so many immigrants here. And they go to Mexico and they don't come back. So they extended the Christmas break to 4 weeks.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, it's always been that way. Well, since I've had kids in school.
Okay.
But that's how it goes. Okay.
I'll keep you posted about California developments and other things in the health freedom movement. And I sure appreciate the opportunity to have this great talk with you. And
yeah, and we're going to be working on our new little radio show, you and I. We're going to be doing a little thing.
Yes.
Yeah, and we can have, we can do three-way interviews or four-way or whatever, and we can have whoever we want, and we can just talk. We can be like the health freedom version of The View. Only we won't all talk at the same time, and we're not all crazy and witchy.
Amen.
Okay, Michelle, thank you so much for your time today.
You're welcome. Thank you, Candace. Have a great rest of your day. Okay?
Love you to the moon, bud.
Love you. Bye, girl.